good morning. We are hoping that your day is kicking off strong, and we're glad that you are here with us, Old Lion, Young Lion. As we have told you before, the greatest show on the airwaves. And we're glad that you're listening to us, and we hope that we're going to have something productive and valuable for you to hear today. Now, you might ask, some of you might ask, why do you call your show Old Lion, Young Lion? Well, that is a great question, listener. That is a fantastic question. And the reason why we call our show Old Lion, Young Lion is because we believe sincerely that we work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ. And the show exists to glorify and honor that lion, Jesus. We also believe that the scripture teaches us very clearly that the righteous will be bold as lions. So we also expect that our show weekly will be boldly proclaiming the word of God after we have searched it out. Now, we do this every week, and we want to remind you that we have now out on YouTube, Old Lion, Young Lion YouTube channel, as well as you can email the show with any questions or comments or a subject that you might like to hear about on the Old Lion, Young Lion broadcast. And you can email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Now, my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazelton, and we are pastors at Electric City Baptist Church, located in Schenectady, New York, right there on Hamburg Street near Rollorama, if you're familiar with the area. And we meet for worship every Sunday at 10:30. We'd love for you to come and be a part. Before we get into today's show, we have to give a quick shout out. And it looks like all it says here is that he's from the mountain. So today's sponsor of our show is a Michael Pelton. And Michael Pelton, we want to thank you for participating with the Old Lion, Young Lion show, as well as partnering with us. And we hope that God blesses you. Now, in like tradition, we pray before every show as we jump into it, and I'll ask our resident Old Lion here, Sam Hazelton, would you open up the show today with a word of prayer?
I will. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for this beautiful day and this beautiful opportunity to fellowship and worship with the people of God. Father, I want to thank you for the Word of God, and we're going to be talking about that today. I ask you, Lord, as we talk about the Bible, the Word of God and how we got it and how God has supernaturally preserved it for us, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open the hearts of those listening, that they would see that God loves them very much and wants them to know what he thinks and what his heart is for them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I love that. And we pray for you. We don't know what you're walking through or what life situations you're dealing with, or what's going on with your job, or what's going on at home. But we pray that this show is a blessing to you and that it helps you on your journey to find God and find truth. Just take the next step towards the Jesus that we serve. Now, today we're kicking off a new series of episodes, and we're so happy for all of you that have stuck with us through our other series. But today's series is going to be one of my favorite. Over the next few episodes, the title of the series is going to be, Have You Heard? A Revelation from the Eternal God. And so we want to help you understand what the Word of God is and what that Bible is that you saw sitting on your grandma's coffee table and that Bible that you may have found at your school library. We want you to stick with us about how we explain what it is, what its job is to do, why you need it, and why it's good. So, haven't you heard? A revelation from the eternal God. Sam, let's just jump into today's topic. And why don't you give like a little history about where we've kind of come to this subject, what we're going to be talking about today a little bit, and then what's kind of coming in the future?
Well, we were wrestling over the last few weeks with some of these false religions and some of their doctrines which disagree with the Bible. And so we thought that it would be good at this point to take a closer look at the Bible itself. Is this a book that we can really trust? Is this a book that we can look to define what we truly believe about God? Or is this something that is just like every other book? And so we want to take a look at that question about the Bible itself today. And we're going to be just giving some basics, some overview of what it is, where it came from, and what it consists of.
Before we jump into kind of the topic of today's show, Sam, can you just take maybe 1 or 2 minutes and share with us and the audience maybe one of your first experiences with the Word of God, or maybe something that you kind of considered when you were maybe skeptical about it? Just give us a brief testimony about the first time that you kind of leafed through God's Word.
Yes, my grandmother gave me a Bible for my high school graduation back in 1982.
1882. Oh, no, 1992. Okay. Yeah.
1982.
Old lion. Go ahead. Yes, keep indeed. Going.
And I started to read that when I was a freshman in college. And every time I would open the Bible, I just opened it once and I started to read. I read 5 chapters. And that night I had a dream from God. And then I closed up the book. I didn't read it again for another year. And then I read it again after a year at the encouragement of some of my friends. And again, starting to read it again, I started to have supernatural experiences. I had another dream from God. So in my life, it's been a supernatural book where every time I open it up, every time I read it, God starts to work in my life.
I love that. And we got to recognize what the Bible does and is. And there is kind of a whole kind of worldview where defending the Bible is kind of a way of life. And some of that is good. I personally hold to a view from one of my most favorite preachers named Charles Spurgeon. Go look him up and listen to some of his sermons. But Spurgeon was asked to defend the Bible at one point, and he answered that question like this: Scripture, the Word of God, Scripture is like a lion. Whoever heard of defending a lion? You just turn it loose. I promise you, it will defend itself. And so Scripture is true on the basis of what it speaks of, but there are a lot of things that back it up and support it and are evidenced in the world that we live in, which to me, Sam's story is one of those evidences. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 10 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Sam, as a young man, was introduced to this Word of God, and that is what started the fire of faith that's in his very heart that not only fuels his ministries, but also his hosting of this very show, Old Lion, Young Lion. And so as we dive into what the Bible is, you must know, listener, that beside all the points of defense that we kind of tell you why the Bible is good, you need to open it up and read it. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing via the Word of God. So let's ask this question, Sam, and I'll let you kind of break some of this out. What is the Bible?
Well, the word Bible, it just means a book of books.
Right.
And so in our Bible today, we have 66 books. And you have an Old Testament and you have a New Testament. The Old Testament consists of 39 books. The New Testament consists of 27 books. Mm-hmm. And the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. It is something that we essentially inherited from the Jewish nation. The Bible says in Romans 3:2 that the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. And so this Old Testament, it started to be written in about 1500 BC by Moses, and it was completed in about 400 BC. And this book was essentially handed to us by the Jewish nation. The New Testament is written in Greek. It consists of testimonies of Jesus's apostles about his life and ministry.
Right, eyewitness testimonies. Right.
Eyewitness testimonies. It consists of histories about the first 40 years of the church itself in the book of Acts. And then there's a whole bunch of what we call epistles, or letters that were written by the apostles to churches when the apostles were in prison or when they were traveling. They wanted to write letters of encouragement. So we actually have these letters. These letters were absolutely treasured by the people that received them, and they made copies of them and kept them and distributed them to all the churches. And finally, the last piece of the New Testament is what's called the Apocalypse, or the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is a prophecy about what's going to happen in the end times. So we have this collection of books. They're all written in Greek in the New Testament, and that's essentially what the Bible is.
And I love that kind of packaging that we gave about what it is. And a lot of people may be familiar with the book of Matthew, or maybe even even the verse John 3:16. Maybe they're familiar with the story of David and Goliath or Noah's Ark. But Sam, you gave a little bit of the breakdown of the New Testament with epistles or letters that were written directly to the churches, or the grouping of the Gospels, which is an eyewitness of the life and times of Jesus Christ. What are some of the categories that someone might not know that are in the Old Testament? And give us a breakdown of maybe two or three of those categories and how we might maybe identify a couple of them. Obviously, if you guys know Old Lion here, he may want to start teaching the whole Old Testament. Hold off on doing that for this episode, Sam, and just give us a brief overview of what the Old Testament has. How much percentage is it of the Bible? People might not know that it's a lot bigger than the New Testament. And what are the three categories that are in the Old Testament as far as books go?
Those are great questions. In your Bible, which can be anywhere from 1,000 pages to 1,300 pages, depending on how big the text is.
You prefer a giant print Bible, I think.
I do. My old eyes, I need the big print. But your Old Testament comprises about 3/4 of the Bible. So it's about 1/4 New Testament, 3/4 Old Testament.
Before you say this, Sam, just want to give a warning out to our listeners. You may hear someone that comes out with a quote like, we really need to detach ourselves from the Old Testament. And for the listener, you need to understand what Sam just said is that it's 3/4 of the Bible. So if you ever hear someone say, we really need to separate ourselves from the majority of the Bible, you can kind of mark that as an erroneous statement. It's very valuable, this first 75%. So I just wanted to give that little side note. Sam, go ahead and continue on with that.
Indeed, yes. And the Old Testament, that was the Bible that the apostles of the New Testament had in their hands before the New Testament existed. This was their Bible. And we like to say, and this is a common phrase, but the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament, and the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. So the New Testament writings, they were already contained in the seed of the Old Testament.
Right.
And then the New Testament grew out of the Old Testament, and the New Testament is really just a revelation or a revealing of these truths that were already hidden in the Old Testament. So they operate as one single book, even though we have them in two sections. They don't contradict. But anyway, back on this Old Testament, it consists of three major sections. This is how it was broken out in the time of Jesus. Mm. It was broken out into the law, the prophets, and the writings. And in Hebrew, that's Torah, Navim, and Ketuvim. And I don't think I pronounced those perfectly.
You did a good job.
So that spells the letters T-N-K. And that's why Jewish people, when they talk about their Bible, which is the Old Testament, they use the term Tanakh.
Right.
And so our Old Testament, we have the exact same books in our Old Testament that Jewish people have in their Tanakh. And so the law is the first 5 books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The prophets consist of the histories such as 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, as well as the prophetic writings, the major prophets,
Isaiah, Jeremiah,
Ezekiel, and some of the minor prophets as well. So these are all considered the prophets. And the writings are all the other things that are in there, such as the Psalms, the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, books such as Esther, and things like that.
I think that's a really good breakdown for the Old Testament. And for some of you that might not know, you may recall, maybe in your younger years, or if you've kind of strayed some distance away from what the Bible is, that when Sam does this breakdown, that even the very chapter that maybe you might be familiar with in Psalm 23, that starts out with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is in the writings of the Old Testament, and you have read this, or you've heard it, and also in the very Bible that Jesus carried would have this verse from the Old Testament. So I think that is a great breakdown of what the Old Testament is and what the New Testament is. And people kind of categorize this as two halves of the Bible. When I love Sam summarizing this, that really the Old Testament is 3/4 of the Bible, and then the New Testament is kind of that final quarter. So before we go on to a couple more things, you mentioned something, Sam, that thematically the Bible has kind of one narrative, one story from beginning to end, even though it's broken down into all these categories. What kind of is the theme of the story? What kind of is the idea of the whole book? And how do the parts kind of play a role into that?
Well, it's absolutely amazing. You have this book, the Bible, that was composed over about a 1,500-year period from the time of Moses to the close of the Apostolic Age. And during that period, you had at least 40 different authors that were involved in writing the Bible. And now the Bible says about itself, it's very, very important for us to understand. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says that no prophecy of Scripture ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So we have to understand that these 40 different authors, they weren't just sitting down somewhere and writing their theological opinions out. These were men that were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so even though you have all these different authors, all these many different continents that they wrote on, many different cultures that they were part of, many different eras and geopolitical situations that they were part of, they wrote under the influence of the Spirit of God. And so that everything that they wrote is in harmony. You don't find one writer over here contradicting another writer over here. And so this theme, there are many themes that are woven through the Scriptures, but the main theme, which is carried out through the entire Bible, and this is the one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one that we praise, the one that is our Savior, the theme of this coming Messiah is woven through Scripture. The theme throughout the Old Testament, it says what he's going to be like, how he's going to live, the things he's going to do, the way he's going to save mankind. And then you see in the New Testament, boom, Jesus appears on the scene and fulfills everything that was written about him in Scripture, and then goes to the cross to pay the price for our sin, to rise again from the dead, to ascend to heaven, and to establish the church on the earth.
That is so important to know. There's two pieces that might need a magnifying glass on for what Old Lion just kind of shared with us. Number one is that the book was inspired by a person in the Trinity of the triune God, the Holy Spirit. And so you might find people that are deeply knowledgeable and maybe even instructive about the Word of God academically, but they cannot see the things that it says because they might not be or have been filled with the Holy Spirit. The book is a supernatural book, though it is written in a way that natural eyes, yours and mine, can read. You might not understand the full depth and width of what this book is unless God has gifted you with the Holy Spirit, or if you've asked God, like a good father, to give you freely this gift of the Holy Spirit, you might have difficulty understanding what the Bible is about. So the first portion about defending this scripture, about understanding what this Bible is knowing that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. God breathed out and moved along by his very Holy Spirit. And then the second piece that Sam was bringing up in regards to this entire theme of this book, which, interestingly enough, the book of John tells us that the job of the Holy Spirit is to point to all the things that Jesus said. The second and major thing you must know about the Bible is that the whole theme is about this coming Messiah whose name is Jesus. In fact, when Jesus shows up on the scene, by the way that we know this is that these written testimonies in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, attested throughout time, verified by more evidence than any other ancient script of paper that's ever been written, is that Jesus shows up in the book of John, and John tells these academic readers of the scripture, search the scriptures, for in them you will think that you have eternal life, but these are they that speak of me. So the entire Old Testament and the Bible in general thematically speaks of the one and only Messiah that came and coming King, Jesus Christ, as evidenced by the Holy Spirit moving upon men to write in the very Bible that the whole thing is about Jesus. So I really appreciated, Sam, how you shared that this is inspired by the Holy Spirit and the whole theme of it is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What were you going to share?
Well, there's an interesting passage in the New Testament in the first epistle of the Apostle John to the churches, and he writes this. He says in chapter 2, verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Verse 27, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And so we, just as you said, Anthony, just as the Holy Spirit carried along the authors as they wrote this, the Holy Spirit carries along people as they read it so that they can understand it and interpret it and apply it in their lives.
And this does not mean that if you've not had some kind of spiritual experience that you shouldn't touch the Bible. No. Quite possibly the most opposite thing should be said, that you should go and find it and ask that ye might receive. Yeah. The Bible is there in this day and age. Not only is it anywhere on the internet, you can find it in Barnes and Nobles. You can find it in the library. You can find it anywhere. Quickly disappearing from public schools, quickly disappearing from maybe some of the public eye, but you have more access to the Bible than you ever have had before. And I love this idea of that there needs to be a revelation from God to people, and that we can hold it in our hand, known as the Bible.
Amazing.
I think the book is so near and dear to my heart. It guides all the things that I do with my life and how I operate. But this is for the whole world to hear. It's important that you find yourself a Bible and go line by line, learning about the things that it says, hearing about the things that it teaches about, and understanding what it is. Throughout this whole series, we're going to be breaking down a few of the levied attacks at Scripture. And one of them that we just wanted to kind of touch base today was that people have kind of claimed that it's a fairy tale. And we'll kind of wrap the show with this idea. We've kind of broken down what's the Old Testament, what's the New Testament in a light way. You'll need to do more research than just listen to our show. Or you should email us and we'll give you some more information. But Sam, break down this kind of primary action that's been taken against Scripture in regards to calling it a fairy tale. This also is somewhat of a postmodern idea. What's going on with that accusation and how can we deal with some of it?
Well, what it comes down to when people say, oh, this is just a fairy tale or a tall tale, or it was something that was passed along verbally and orally from generation to generation, and it just got expanded into this ridiculous tall tale rather than accurately reporting the facts. There are obviously a lot of things in the Bible, a lot of these miracles that are recorded happened thousands of years ago. And so we don't have the video of what happened when, for example, David took out his slingshot and killed Goliath. We don't have the video when Joshua pointed at the sun and said, stand still in Gibeon, and it didn't hasten to go down for about an entire day. So we don't have the video of those things, and so we ask the question, well, how could that really have happened? That seems supernatural. Well, here's how we measure it. We take the other things that the Bible says that are historically verifiable. We take the other things in Scripture that it says that are archaeologically verifiable, and we see, how does the Bible do on the things that it says that we can verify, that we can disprove, or that we can prove? And so what happens, as you see in the Bible, is all of these details, these historical details about people, places, times that they lived, offices that they held, it has lots of detail about that that involve no supernatural whatsoever. And usually what's happening when people are making these accusations is they are opposed to the idea that the eternal God who created the universe could actually do miracles. They're very materialistic in the way that they think. They think that everything is just subject to the laws of nature, the laws of physics, the laws of science, and that it's impossible for actual miracles to occur. But the God who created it all, he's outside of this realm. He supernaturally created it. He can supernaturally intervene. But that's what they're aiming against, is this idea of the supernatural. But all these things, these details that are non-supernatural in the Bible, every time we go back in history and archaeologically and dig things up, we find the people, the places, the positions, the times are exactly the way that they were recorded in the scripture.
I think that is a great view of how you can be kind of balance the idea of being skeptical about the word of God, but trusting that it can be telling you some truth. And the Bible says in John 10 that the scripture cannot be broken. It also tells us in Deuteronomy 18 how you ought to test these things. It says, if there be a prophet that comes speaking prophecy and his prophecy does not come true, then you ought not to fear, respect, or listen to that very prophet. The Bible welcomes and insists that you double check the things that it says. I've been pondering this idea in regards to not just the Bible, but truth in general. And there's a famous writer named C.S. Lewis. You may know of him. And he says, we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. But like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the sandbox because he cannot imagine what it is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. C.S. Lewis's point about this is that inside the depths of Scripture, the Bible teaches us that the fullness of the richness in Christ dwells in the Word of God. But because we want to look at the world, look at the environment around us in a naturalistic, material, just in front of our eyes way, we miss out on the depths and the richness and the greatness of the truth that is bound up in the Word of God. This is something that you need. This is something that you want, and it's life-changing. A friend of mine called me once and having a debate about truth and Christianity and the Word of God. And ultimately, he said at the very end of our conversation, well, guess what, Anthony, you may be right. Atheism never stopped anyone from being an alcoholic, but the Word of God seems to continue to beat this over and over and over again. I think all these things kind of point to the power and the truth that's in the Word of God. So, Sam, if you were to summarize kind of what the Word of God is, what the themes are, and kind of package it all together in just a couple of sentences, how would you kind of portray this to somebody who might ask you, what is the Bible?
I think very simply the best way to describe it is the Bible is what God has revealed to mankind. It says in the book of 2 Peter in the New Testament that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So God in his power has revealed to us everything that we need to know to live great lives. And so this book, you've heard it, maybe the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth. That's one way you may have heard it described as a user's manual for life. But really, it is a beautiful gift from God. And it is, as the psalmist David said in Psalm 119, your word is sweet as honey to my taste.
I love that. And you need to know there's a God that created you for a mission, for purpose, and that God is not some distant idol. He is personal, and he loves you. And he wrote something down that he wants you to hear, and that is the Bible. We hope that you'll kind of stick with us through this series. Haven't you heard Revelation from an Eternal God? We're going to be going over this over the next 3 to 4 weeks, and this is not a show that talks necessarily about politics, though that may come up, or sports, or what's going on in the fashion world or the cinema world. This is a show that seeks to find out truth and deliver it and speak it boldly from the Word of God and anywhere else that we can find it. God bless.
We'll see you at church.